And we can see how things are just planned hundreds of years in advance. And it's just passed down, continued. It's part of a component for the outcome. What do you see as that outcome for all of this, Freeman?
Well, they understand. Yeah, they understand how civilizations rise and fall. They've, of course, been controlling this for aeons. And you look into Adam Weishaupt's ideas of the Illuminati and his five stages of civilization. Then you start to see that they know how this all plays out over time. Well, they're really creating it. So as far as I'm concerned, America was created to be this symbol of freedom, to create this space war that we're going into, to be the technologically advanced civilization. But we're slated, of course, to be the shopping mall / theme park for the world. So what we're doing now is this program to chaos. So they are igniting all of their mayhem using what I believe trauma-based mind control agents to go out and, say team sport killings of the homeless, things of this nature, to make us all seem very perverted. And they have been programming into the children, of course, the warrior princess programming. So when you walk down your aisle of Walmart, who was started by Sam Walton, who was a Freemason, or, you can go through each corporation and find the founding Freemason. So you'll know that, these corporate logos are absolutely Freemasonic in origin. But you walk down your aisles today, and what you'll see all to your left is Hannah Montana, right? Walt Disney rules supreme. And, of course, Hannah keeps that whole concept of the elite and us in mind, because she's has the best of both worlds. She's the secret star. So, and the little children, they're all like, I want to be the elite, but I'm just lowly old me, and that's the programming, the princess programming. Then they'll sell you little bubblegum cell phones. And on the other side of the aisle, you're going to see Spider-Man, Star Wars, and Transformers or G.I. Joe for the warrior programming to the boys. And, of course, then they're trained to go and shoot and kill to pay for the gummy cell phone for the little princess. So we are constantly being programmed by our very shopping, You just think it's toys? Heck no, that's not toys. Walt Disney was hired by 33rd degree Freemason J. Edgar Hoover to instill mind pattern programming into children. That was his purpose. And he did such a good job with this back in World War II in their war propaganda that they had back then. That Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, adopted Walt Disney's methods for also programming the Nazis. So when we start to see who is creating our reality now, of course, Walt Disney just bought up Marvel Comics, and that's one of the later, and then, of course, the video games, and all of this there to program us into this chaos, because, of course, the Masonic motto is order out of chaos. But what they need is America to go completely virulent. They want us to be violent, hated, perverted people. And then they've even encoded all of these satanic gestures into Barack Obama. And this is why we just fulfilled the plan. And then, of course, what they're after is this global oligarchy run by a priestcraft that will then use America as an example to say, look, this is what happens when you give people liberty. They turn into tyrants. Mm-hmm. They're evil. America will probably be blamed for nearly destroying the planet. Of course, we are bombing the moon here on October 9th, so I'm real curious as how that's going to go. But so it's us, it's us. When people always ask me, who is the New World Order? I'm like, it's us. We're fulfilling the game plan. They can't do this alone.
Right.
But they use a lot of tactics that, and everyone just thinks that civilization's the outcome of human endeavor, and so we think this is just a natural state of being, and it's just not the case.
Interesting.
Yeah, we don't have the spiritual or emotional maturity to go with all of this technology.
Exactly, and that's been stripped away as well.
Yeah.
Because if you look into like the Hebrews during World War II. They were able to survive those concentration camps because they had this unity of belief. And America has been stripped of that long ago. And right now in the programming is, you go look at Albert Pike's vision for the three world wars to bring about the Holy Masonic Empire under the guidance of Lucifer. Now, this is his own words. And I can find a ton of Luciferian symbolism that, you know, really it gets clued in there. But so where we're at now for World War III was, of course, to get the Zionists and the Muslims fighting, but also the atheists and the Christians. And they seem, the Masons, especially Albert Pike, to have, you know, a real warfare out against the Christians. And I think this is because of the solidarity that a religion brings. But so they want everyone to lose their moral compass and not know where to turn until they finally offer their solution.
I see.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the shocking things that I heard you say in Program to Chaos is that when you were talking about 9/11, you said that many people believe that it was an inside job. And you said, no, it wasn't an inside job. It was an Illuminati job. And so when I heard that, I was like, you know, I thought they were one of the same. But please, you know, expound on that and, you know, explain the difference.
Well, we know it's like the Bilderbergers, the G20, the UN. This is not a nation. At the top of the ladder, at the elite, if we want to call them that, they don't believe in nations. These are corporations that they are in charge of. So in their mindset, we're just a tool. We're a piece of a puzzle, a game. So it wasn't to be an inside job. It wasn't so that we could just simply pass the Homeland Security so that America could become a police state. There were many parts to this story. And one of the main parts was that it was made to be obvious because they knew. They know the psychological nature of the human. And most of us can't accept how insidious or nefarious our leaders are. I mean, they told those people to go back in the building. I mean, that's just cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the free fall. And they knew we were going to rip that apart. They knew that there would be half of us that were going, oh, this is an inside job. This is, you know, look at the free fall. Look at these were detonated. And, you know, it was obvious, Building 7, and then having the BBC, you know, accidentally report Building 7 fall before it fell. All of these things, I believe, were engineered into it. I don't think they were mistakes at all. I think it was supposed to be obvious because this put a gigantic split between America. And not only that, when you look into the game plan now, the game plan was given out in Star Wars, The Revenge of the Sith, strangely enough. And they say, execute Order 66 when they kill all the Jedi. Now, 66, as I was saying, is W. So this was W's job, was to kill all the Jedi. So 9/11, of course, everyone that would have stood against what's going down now in America, the tyranny, the takeover, have been shipped off because they wanted to be valiant and go fight this terrorism. And they are now suffering from Gulf War syndrome, you know, depleted uranium. They're wiped out. So all of our Jedi, as it were, have been eradicated by W. So it's all playing out right along as it goes. And it's so easy to see once you take a conspiratorial view of reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the first thing we have to do is leave Fox and CNN alone. You know, because unfortunately, many of us think that, you know, if it's on Fox or if it's on CNN, must be true.
Well, I'd just like to say that CNN, of course, is owned by Walt Disney, Disney Co. And if you flip CNN backwards, like I have in my artwork, you'll see very clearly it makes a WD, which is Walt Disney. But WD in the Kabbalic symbolism is the door of the dark side. So that's what WD would stand for if you were transliterating it. So CNN's owned by Walt Disney, of course, also ESPN, so you've got your whole bread and circus. But then Fox, of course, is the only word that you can get if you use English to make 666. F is the sixth letter, O the 15th letter, X the 24th letter, 666. I can encode and show you numerous 666s. One last example on that is Hitler's Volkswagen. Now, of course, this was a war machine designed for World War II for his warfare, and this logo was VV, the 66, the W, right? But they crossed the two Vs in the logo, making a coded 666, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that, or if you look at Phillips 66, there's 6 points on the crest, which makes another coded 666. And, I mean, I'm not a Christian.
None of us are, I hope.
I am simply using one method of science, Kabbalism, to outline and identify all of these symbols. And they're constantly correct. So it's just there for the picking. Now, I don't personally believe in a Satan as it is protected in popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking about all of these 666s, and I mean, take Columbia Broadcasting Systems, you know, CBS, that the logo is the I, right? Well, in Hebrew, I is Ayin, and in the Tarot, that's the devil card. So we constantly can come back to these satanic gestures or symbols, but I think that they are more in the magical sense, where they use the black and the white, you know, the checkerboard floor of the Masons. So it's not that, well, I don't know, I could be wrong. I leave that open to your own interpretation if you're a religious person, but start noting the numerous 666s or satanic symbols that you see in all the corporate industrial complex and start to recognize who Satan really is. You know, that's where you get lost. You don't realize it's GE, it's Walt Disney, it's all of these high corporations.
Interesting.
Speaking of things that are covert, what about the Georgia Guidestones?
Very curious stuff. I definitely went and did a deep look at that, circled that a few times before they, of course, spray painted all over it. I didn't believe in that story either. That seemed like a fluke. I mean, if you're going to go spray paint, I don't know. It seemed quite ignorant that they couldn't spell, but maybe. But the Georgia Guidestones are very curious in their way that... you know, first of all, they're just there. No one knows why. And then this mysterious man, quote-unquote, R.C. Christian, which is, as far as I'm concerned, code for Christian Rosenkreutz, or the founder of the Rosicrucians, which is another secret society within Freemasonry. They're pretty much brothers in hand, although the Rosicrucians believe they have the deeper secrets. You know, they think the Masons just kind of have the fluff. When you look at this, you can absolutely see the game plan. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot more that's in there as well. Just the idea of the frequency of language is in there when you see all of the different languages selected. I always thought Swahili, what a strange thing. You know, Barak.
Yeah.
Barak in Swahili means blessed one.
Mm-hmm.
When I started identifying Barack Hussein Obama in the name game there. Well, the last thing about the Georgia Guidestones, one of the coded mysteries that most people don't notice is that it's surrounded by Hollywood or holly plants. And so this is, you know, their magician's wand. It goes back to ancient Druidic magic. But Barack Hussein Obama, we might as well get to him.
Because
we're looking at what we've got going on right now, the order out of chaos, the dichotomy, we see in his title. Now, of course, the court cases call him Barry Satoru or Barry Dunham. He has a number of aliases, right? And so where did the name Barack Hussein Obama come from, if that's not his name, if he's really Barry Satoru? And so you start looking at this name. Now, Barack Hussein, now, as I was saying, Albert Pike's prediction or projection for World War III was to get the Zionists and the Muslims fighting. Well, of course, Barack was in charge of Israel, and Hussein was in charge of the Muslims.
Yes.
Now, a curious note between Saddam Hussein and Barack Obama, they both claim Bedouin descendancy. Now, Saddam Hussein was claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated.
Yes.
Did you guys catch that in the news?
Ooh.
Okay, so he claimed to be a Bedouin, who had then raised himself up, but of course he was placed by the American military into power, the whole Kuwait situation and all of that, bringing about HW announcing the New World Order for the first time. Now, HW in Kabbalism means Emperor of the Dark Side, right? H being the letter of the Emperor. So when we look at this picture, we got Barack Hussein, so we've got the Israel Islam. He's black and white. He was up against a female. So we've got the male-female dichotomy. And when you look at ritual must take into account every aspect. You want to cover as many points as you can. When you're doing a ritual, you want the proper sense, the proper color, the proper everything, the words. Everything around you should fill this spectrum of the ritual. So there's no difference with Barack Hussein Obama. Now, Saddam Hussein was claiming to be Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. He was rebuilding Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and on it he put statuary of himself as Nebuchadnezzar. Now, who is Nebuchadnezzar but the most ruthless ruler of Babylon, who in the Bible is called Lucifer? Now, there's only one time ever in history that the word Lucifer shows up in the Bible, and that's only in the King James Version. I personally blame Sir Francis Bacon, otherwise known as Shakespeare, for encoding Lucifer into the Bible.
Ah.
You won't find any connections between Lucifer and Satan. People try to make these connections from two phrases, one in Isaiah and one in, I think, Luke. And it's curious how these phrases fit with Obama. So when you see Saddam Hussein, Nebuchadnezzar, he is Lucifer, a Bedouin. And when we attacked Saddam Hussein, we attacked him with the shock and awe, right? Rapid dominance.
Yes.
Well, shock and awe is a play on the word Shekinah, which is known by most Masons and many Jews. Or if you're into biblical studies, the Shekinah was the era or the cloud of God that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant. They called that the Shekinah. So the Shekinah is basically, and this is also why Disney kills all the mothers, the absent mothers. You'll notice in almost every Disney film, the mother will be either killed right at the beginning, or they're not there at all, or else they're seeking the princess. And this is all secret encoding of the Shekinah. It is the feminine version of God in the Hebrew mysticism. So the Shekinah comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar, and they use the mother of all bombs, which of course in military acronyms is the Moab. And that's the very people that took out Nebuchadnezzar. So the Shekinah comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar with the Moab. It's ritual. It began on the vernal equinox. It ended on Walpurgis night. These are the times when the dead are supposed to be able to transcend the veil. So, you know, see this. Recognize this. Recognize that that wasn't Saddam Hussein they hung, you know. Recognize the doubles and the other things in this story and how they all just play this ritual role in the scenario. So here's Barack Hussein Obama playing upon the names of Islam and Israel. But his name also correlates with this definition of Lucifer. Because most of the people, when they're looking to describe Lucifer, now I challenge anyone to go into the Bible and find the story for me that says Lucifer was the most beloved angel of God that was cast down to earth and became Satan. Find that for me, and I'll change my tune. But there is a story of Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Right? And so it says Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Well, if you took that back to the ancient Aramaic, the early Hebrew, lightning from heaven is Barack Obama. So once again, we've got Lucifer in there again. And his symbol of the rising sun, this is no different than Hitler's canted swastika, because the swastika is the symbol of the rising sun, and the canting of it is the symbol of Horus within Masonic ritual. That's why you have this cantedness to the swastika. You know, if you go to India and you look at the swastika, it's straight. But Hitler canted it, and this is showing his Masonic roots. Really, the Teutonic Knights go back to the Freemasonic order of strict observance, and they follow the unknown superior. So there's a lot of deep encoded meaning in all of this.
There's a question in the chat room where one of our guests is asking, to what god do Freemasons pray to? Is there a prayer? Is it a religion? There's also a comment that it's not a religion. It's just about knowledge.
They try desperately to say they're not a religion, but yet they have all the trappings. They have the altar. They have the rituals. They have all of the same things as religion. There's even a Masonic marriage. So if you can find it both, even with Albert Mackey, the lead historian of Freemasonry, to say that it is a religion. Albert Pike will say it is a religion. So to say it's not is false. Freemasonry absolutely is a religion. It's just not everybody knows that, even the people inside, right? So their god is known as the Great Architect of the Universe, which, of course, was the character Sean Connery, who is a fine Freemason, turned down in The Matrix. He was very disturbed by missing that opportunity and then took his job with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which, of course, is all based on Masonry as well.
Yes, indeed.
And that's why he was in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, much to his own dismay, because, I mean, turning down a part in The Matrix was a big mistake. But so the great architect of the universe, there's two requirements to becoming a Freemason, and one is that you come of your own free will and accord. And to me, this is critical to everything that they're doing, because I believe that this dark force that they are encoding in our reality can only be perpetrated by our free will agreement. And that's why they post it in all the movies. That's why they train us and condition us to do what they need us to do, because we have to agree to it. I think that's the spiritual veil. So that's the first rule of Freemasonry. You must come of your own free will and accord. But the second rule is that you must believe in a deity. You must believe in a supreme being. Now, who is this supreme being? It's very curious. Some will tell you that it's Lucifer. Now, it's a curious note when you are raised as a Master Mason. Now, I was just watching, and I got to give props to occultscience.tv, that fantastic site you guys got there.
Thank you, buddy.
Definitely. And I went to occultscience.tv, and I checked out the history, secret history of Freemasonry, right, that you have up there. And I was watching Santa Claus perform the Master Mason ritual in the temple there. Yeah, I didn't know that. That was a new one for me. Yeah.
That's a great
I mean,
video,
I got
yeah.
some things about Santa, but I didn't know that. Well, within this Master Mason degree, this third degree, where you're pretending to be Hiram Abiff, and you are murdered by the three Jews, or Jabello, Jabello, Jabellum, which is also in the From Hell movie. Now, every movie Alan Moore does is based on Freemasonry. And so that whole idea from hell was about Jack the Ripper being the Freemason and given the clue, the three Jews, the Jubella, Jubella, Jubellum, who are the ruffians that take out this man, Hiram Abiff. Now, Hiram Abiff, you know, according to Masonic lore, was brought to King Solomon to build Solomon's temple to house the Ark of the Covenant, which, of course, housed the Shekinah, or the Shekinah, right? And if you read Zechariah Sitchin, you might just think Hiram Abiff is an extraterrestrial, or at least one of the gods, because he says that King Hiram of Tyre was one of the few people that was taken to the land of the gods, taken off the planet, like Ezekiel or Enoch. So there is extraterrestrial connections to this Masonic story. But when you are raised as Hiram Abiff, now you go through a death and resurrection ritual, and they clobber you with a hammer, and then you're wrapped up in a sheet and put in a corner, and then later resurrected by the grip of the lion's paw. When you're raised up out of this, you're taken to the five points of fellowship, which is like foot to foot, knee to knee, chest to chest, hand to back, mouth to ear, and you're given the secret word of a master mason, which is Maha Bone, and then you're shown a pentagram on the back wall, and you're told this pentagram is Venus. Now, I challenge you to go look up Lucifer in the dictionary and see that Venus is Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So you absolutely are raised to the light of Lucifer as you're raised in this death and resurrection ritual.
Interesting. We're going to take a quick question, Freeman, from the chat room. Good question. And the listener wants to know, could you identify some of the more occultic symbols in the layout of the capital city? They're aware of the pentagram, but they've heard that there are many, many more.
There are many more, and I would definitely recommend David Ovison's book, The Secret Architecture of D.C. I was trying to see that on my bookshelf, make sure I had the title right. But David Ovison has a great exposition on that whole setup. There is so much encoded in there. My main point with discussing the street plans of Washington, D.C., now, first of all, Washington and Lafayette getting together and trying to set this thing up, well, they were setting it up too serious. So a lot of the coded symbolism within the street plan of D.C. is to the star known as Sirius. Now, when you start digging deeper and deeper into Masonic lore, you're going to continually come back to this strange star. And that's when the puzzle starts to get really strange. Now, Egypt worshipped Sirius. Ancient Mayans worshipped Sirius. You can find Sirius worship everywhere. Sirius radio. Now, the Masons have a symbol for Sirius, which is the blazing pentagram, what they call the blazing star. And this is an encoded symbol to Sirius. The Egyptian hieroglyph for Sirius is an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram. So this, of course, is encoded in almost every capital in America and many of the nation states, such as London and the Vatican. Sometimes, you know, when you start to follow the exopolitical spectrum, the extraterrestrial side of this story, you will come to two races ruling planet Earth, mining it for its resources, most especially gold. Now consider when Cortez or Pizarro showed up with the Aztecs, and they were, or is it the Incas? Oh, let's get that backwards. they were handed over all the gold because they believed these men to be their great white brotherhood, the great white gods that were supposed to show up on that day. And so they were like, ah, the gods have returned. Here's all the gold. Now, this is a prime example of what civilization on Earth is actually up to, because we've lost our ancient roots. You know, you have to go back. You have to look at the pyramids. You have to look at Baalbek, Lebanon. You have to look at the Tiwanakan. All of these structures are beyond our construction in the 21st century. We can't possibly build Baalbek, Lebanon. We do not have the technology to do it. Now, how did they build it in 6000 BC? That's the question, and that's where we have to dig. So what we find is that perhaps the Masons are this extraterrestrial cult keeping the operations of mining the gold and other resources of planet Earth for this extraterrestrial race. And honestly, I have believed that that's what the Columbia Endeavor for the Discovery of Atlantis space shuttle system was for. Now Japan has put a big platform out on the ISIS or the ISS. And is that just to shove all the gold off so that they can ship it off? Because that was the tale Zechariah Sitchin tells of the Agigi. There was a race that orbited planet Earth where they would launch the gold when Nibiru was returning. And, of course, we've got all the stories of Planet X. And I remember it being reported in the news when they started talking about Planet X on the news. Maybe. You know, but why gold? Why are we mining gold? What's the point? What's the purpose? And why have we spent so much time and lives trying to dig this rock up out of the ground just to stick it in a in a vault so that no one can touch it? Makes no sense at all. Or the 30 million missing in gold under the Twin Towers after the collapse. These type of things, where's the gold going? Some say Fort Knox is empty. Why gold?
So I've heard.
Very, very interesting. Looks like we have another good question in the chat room where they're actually talking about the Colorado airport and also that Denver airport mural. Would you like to touch on those?
Sure. You'll find that in my film with Tex Mars, Codex Magica. I went down and filmed some of the parts there in the Denver International Airport. Well, honestly, I guess I don't have too much to say on that because I haven't truly deciphered all the symbolism in it. It's pretty deep, and I don't think I have enough. You know, you can look at the little Nazi boy pounding swords into plowshares and begin to wonder, and then, of course, it says peace, 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 which that goes back to the predictions of the Antichrist. These type of scenarios in there, and of course, you know, it was Masonically crafted, the Denver International Airport. You can go see the Mason cornerstone there. Let's just recognize that the Twin Towers had Masonic cornerstones dated to 9/11, 1970, whatever year that was built, or you can go look at the Pentagon, which is still standing, and see that their cornerstone was dated to 9/11, 1941. So both buildings destroyed or, you know, damaged on 9/11, both had Masonically laid cornerstones on 9/11. And I've actually used these type of cornerstone dates to predict the events. 10/13, the fall of the economic collapse, that was due to the fact that the Masonic cornerstone was laid on the White House by George Washington on 10/13, or that Chris Carter's production company is 10/13. Or that George W. Bush was brought to the Vatican and shown St. John's Tower on Friday the 13th, which is what 10/13 is. And many of these symbolic gestures then give me the code to follow so that then I can identify when they will do their next ritual, and that's how I've managed to predict all of these dates. The next one I'm watching, of course, is the 4th of July, which is the cornerstone on the One World Tower, or what was going to be called the Freedom Tower. But as far as Denver International Airport, hey, you know, there very well could be an alien base under there. There's definitely a deep underground base under there. And things are much farther ahead than we're led to know. I've had large V-shaped craft fly over my car in Ogden, Utah, of all places. Og being the land of the giants in the Bible, so the den of Og, and a giant V-shaped craft flew over. And, of course, the Mormons were there with their large tabernacle in Ogden, and that's where all of your income tax reports go to, or at least on that half of the U.S., go to the Mormons in Ogden, Utah. And you look into Mormonism, and, of course, that started by Joseph Smith, who was a Freemason, who saw some magical golden tablets in his hat and managed to create a religion. You'll find that all these Masons start religions, you know, L. Ron Hubbard. But the Mormon story is extraterrestrial. The Battlestar Galactica is the Mormon creation myth.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, before we take calls from the switchboard, just wanted to touch, quickly touch on what's going on over in Dubai. You know, and have you been paying much attention to what's going on over there? Because apparently the ruler over there, you know, it's like he's turning that place into a high-tech haven. And he's, you know, they're really going all out to really attract people over there. You know, what are your thoughts and opinions about what's going on over in Dubai?
It's a beautiful trap. There's no doubt about it. Now, when they put that largest building in the world there in Dubai, all of a sudden a mist came in and it never left. So they seem to have pulled in this strange mist by creating that tall building, the spire to heaven. But I certainly was sitting back watching as they opened Atlantis there in Dubai and had that multi-million dollar fireworks display. Right at the moment when the American economy was collapsing, they were spending $30 million on fireworks in Dubai. A very interesting display that could only really be enjoyed from space. Dubai seems to be a beautiful trap. There are reports coming of people that have gone out there to get started in this great new industry, and it turns out that the rules in Dubai are slightly different. If you go broke or if you try to quit your job, if you end up in debt, you are in a debtor's prison. And so there have been numerous people that have come out now. One especially was a little lady who was stuck in the hotel of a parking lot because her husband had been arrested for trying to quit his job. So once you get over there and you get into the situation, if you go into debt like you would here in America, you are a criminal and are arrested and then become a servant of the Dubai government. So it's a beautiful trap is what they got going on there.
Ooh, I see. And one more quick question before we go to the callers, because the switchboard is lit up. One of the things that stood out to me in Program to Chaos is when you said something about this planet, you know, with humans. It's, you know, it's been violent, and it's always been violent, and perhaps it would always be violent. And it really wasn't created to be peaceful, you know, that it's being controlled by quote-unquote higher powers, you know, if you will, the Illuminati. And I've often heard people say that they were, I've heard words such as reptilian bandied about. And what are your thoughts and opinions on that? And expand on that a little bit more.
Well, the first thing I noticed as a traveling, call me a gypsy, whatever you will, for some reason I had wanderlust. You know, the day I graduated college, I got in a Volkswagen van and I just started going. I didn't know where I was going, how I was going to get there, or anything. I actually was juggling for a living. And, it carried me forward. I just went, and this was the synchronistic tale I was mentioning in the beginning. All along the way, and everywhere I've gone in my 42 years, I've just run into beautiful, wonderful people that want to share the things that they have. They wish they had more to give. They want to, you know, show you everything they've accomplished and everything that they want to do. They love having company. And it was, you know, a revelation to say, wait a minute, if all these millions of people I see are all just wonderful, you know, I'm not expecting the guy in the grocery store to knife me, you know, no one's pulling out any AKs or anything like this. So why do we constantly go to this warfare? And of course, it's all instilled in the mind pattern programming. But the key ingredient is to recognize that humans are good, and we are so there's never been a more indoctrinated generation than ours. You know, we have been fully indoctrinated through television. You know, my dad created our first color television because he was a nuclear specialist. You know, he could do those things. So we're the first generation of really being programmed like this, and we're constantly shown all this evil nature of humanity. But you go wander your streets, and it's just not there. I mean, maybe in some deep... Well, I've even walked through some of the deeper, darker, you know, places where people would think to be in fear, but I never thought to be in fear, and that was the key ingredient. I hadn't been programmed. So when I was wandering through these streets, it never even occurred to me to be afraid of these people, and nothing ever happened. We do have an ability to create what we think. And so often if we're projected into this fear spectrum, then you might just get attacked. And that's where all of the ideas of the control dramas come in from the Celestine prophecies and a new science that I'm trying to get out to people, the idea of projecting, you know, your reality. So, you know, that's the key ingredient, is that humans are really good, so you've got to ask why we continually go to warfare, and when you do, you're going to come to the answer of brotherhood agendas, secret societies, Freemasonry, fomenting warfare. I mean, the Boston Tea Party was nothing but a Masonic false flag event to get people to do the fights that they needed to do. And, of course, This whole concept of money, which is just a farce, it's nothing but a spell, that's one of the major ones that they've used. So first we fought for the gods, and that's why the pyramids were the biggest building in town. Then we fought for the church, that's why the church was the biggest building in town. Now the banks were the biggest building in town, but now, in the 21st century, the cell phone companies are the biggest buildings in town, so you know the chip is next. First of all, when you start to look into extraterrestrials, you always, of course, come to the grays. And when you look at a gray, it's obviously a subterranean being. You know, it's an ant people. When Zechariah Sitchin told the tale of the Elohim coming down here to bring a worker race to mine this planet for resources, they brought a race they called the Anunnaki. Now, it's curious, as Sitchin continues with his story, he later turns the Anunnaki into all the gods. But when you read the first book, The 12th Planet, you find that the Anunnaki was a race that they brought with them to mine the planet. And it was the revolt of the Anunnaki that against the Elohim that caused them to create mankind as a worker race. So when we look at the Anunnaki, you would consider, if you're a geneticist and you wanted to mine a planet, you would create a subterranean species. When we look to the Hopi and their ancient extraterrestrial tales, they had a race they knew as the Anasazi, which is not too far off from Anunnaki, and they were known as the Ant People. And during the great calamity or catastrophe on planet Earth, everyone went underground and stayed with the Anasazi. They seem to be our friend by enemies, right? You know, your enemy of your enemies, your friend. These revolted against the gods, against the Elohim, and then, of course, we were created to replace them. But they would still be here. And absolutely, Adolf Hitler believed in all of this. He believed in the subterranean realms. He believed in the inner Earth ideas. He sent submarines and ships to the North and South Pole, and you know, it's believed that there's bases there today. Yes, they create these world wars to bring about social evolution, and there was, you know, Hitler played his role, and of course all the Nazis came over here and started NASA. Wernher von Braun gave us the prediction. He told us, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a tangent here, but this is key. Wernher von Braun, the Nazi scientist, the rocket scientist, created the ICBMs and basically, you know, established NASA, who I have a picture of with Walt Disney, came over, and he says that we're going to have this projection into space war. And there would be, of course, the Red Scare to start the whole technological advancements of rocketry, and then we'd get into terrorism. Next in line would be asteroids, and then following asteroids, extraterrestrials. So as I'm watching the whole Obama spectrum, and he starts his first day one, they announce they're going to couple the DOD, the Department of Defense, with NASA, and create the Ares Orion space program, which Ares is Mars, the god of war. And so I said, well, they're going to use an asteroid to do this. And I personally was tracking these anomalous incoming asteroids or meteors that were causing sonic booms and earthquakes. But then they classified those secret as I started to project them out to the world. But sure enough, an asteroid almost hits the planet a month after I start talking about it. They called it DD45, but they said they didn't see this one coming. The true one that they're concerned about, which will arrive in 2029 on Friday the 13th, is Apophis. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Akhenaten, Satan. So now we've got Akhenaten in office, and he's battling Satan, Apophis, and he's claiming to be the son of Jor-El, come down here to save planet Earth. You know, this is all ritual. So, yeah, I do believe in more going on inside and around planet Earth. And if you look into UFOs, of course, the very first UFOs were USOs, or Submariner craft. So we're looking at, you know, the submarine realms being even more into the extraterrestrial spectrum as well. There's a lot of planet Earth that we have yet to see. You know, we're still discovering mammals on the surface. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, and we certainly don't know anything
about
the bottom of the ocean.
Right. What is your, I mean, I've heard like the reason why we haven't been back to the moon is because there's something on the other side of the moon that we can't see that supposedly when we went, you know, basically said, don't come back.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get the reports from Buzz Aldrin or Neil Armstrong, both Freemasons. You know, all of your astronauts are Freemason. A couple of times they took civilians up into space, and that was the Columbia and the Challenger. Other than that, you have initiates going into space. So that's very curious, the initiation ritual coupled with space travel. You know, Gene Roddenberry, Freemason. Let's just keep this all straight. You got to be an initiate. You got to go swear in the lodge before you can go into space. Yes, when you ride the ride in Walt Disney World, and I know I keep going to them, but they are the main power on planet Earth right now. When you ride their ride Mission to Mars, they take you on a flight simulation or a launch simulation, and you go past the moon, you're shot around it, and on it they'll show you a base on the dark side of the moon. Realize that Walt Disney World is a military-industrial complex. Every ride in there is sponsored by a military-industrial corporation. The people that build nukes and chemical weaponry are giving you rides in Disney, you know. So understand who they are and why they're there and what they're doing. But absolutely, we're looking at the spectrum where, well, that's why I'm so curious about this bombing of the moon. If you see this, I just watched this film, Moon Rising, where they're starting to colorize the moon, and in so started to show ancient architecture on the moon, started to show large circular craft on the moon. So I'm going to be up at 6:30 in the morning Friday watching them bomb the moon with my telescope. There's no doubt about that, because I want to see it goes down. So that's 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can go check out the countdown clock on my website. When they bomb the moon, you know, is there going to be a mass of UFOs come flying? Is this going to be the big deal? Is this going to be the let's consider architecture on these planets. Now, when you see that Moon Rising film, you will see architecture on the moon. When you watch Buzz Aldrin talking about Phobos, which is my next major attention, is Phobos, which of course means fright, and you got fear and fright, Deimos and Phobos. That orbit Mars that only showed up in 1877. These moons didn't seem to exist before that time. And Buzz Aldrin says that there's a giant monolith on Phobos that might have been created by aliens. Then you look at the Prometheus Mars mission, the Boeing Mars mission, which George W. Bush was pushing. Now they're really pushing to get to Mars. They show architecture, Sumerian architecture on Mars, on the official poster for the Boeing mission to Mars. So,
yeah, Jordan Maxwell had said something about that, like it's a whole bunch of tunnels and stuff on the Mars, like wrapping around mountains and stuff like that.
There's a lot more going on in our solar system than we're told.
All right, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for calling in, caller. Those are some excellent questions and comments. Thank you much for calling in.
All right, peace.
Peace. Okay, yeah, wow, this information is, this is information, family, that you're not going to get on CNN or Fox 5 or the New York Times or the Washington Post, okay? And so I think the first thing we have to do here, okay, is lose the televisions, okay? And I'm going to be so bold as if to say, lose the lose the Bibles and the churches and the Qurans and the mosques and everything, because those are mechanisms that are set up to lock down our consciousness and to view information like this as quackery. But as often been said, truth is often stranger than fiction. And then when we begin to look at it from another perspective, as Freeman has, you know, so beautifully put it, then we begin to awaken. We really begin to see the truth.
Yes, and you know, and if we can do that, you know, as you're saying, I just want to add to what you're saying, perfectly true, that when we're able to shut those programming devices, those weapons of mass destruction down, then we're able to utilize our own brain power and know that our own thoughts are truly our own. Before
Absolutely.
That, they could be coming from anywhere.
Yeah, just take a look on Halloween and count the number of people that are representing Hollywood as opposed to their own nature. You know, creativity
yeah.
is dead.
Mm-hmm.
They call it capturing your imagination. And, of course, magic's all about coupling the imagination with the will to bring about a condition. You know, that's
right.
the definition of magic. And so they're totally crafting your imagination.
And they can't get in unless you've invited them. And that's the core.
Oh, yes. Wow.
We have the power, but we just have to take it back,
yes.
you know?
And the key ingredient to that is to start to follow your intuition, start to love people, you know, because intuition and synchronicity does not work without your messenger, your angel, your other people. All of the miracles in your life will be due to other people, so don't hate them. Start to love them, and that's the step one, you know.
I see. Now, when we talk about, you know, I'm sorry, did you have something to say, T?
Oh, no, baby. I was just commenting, agreeing, that's all. Go ahead.
Ah, I see. Now, when we talk about the Illuminati, you know, they, you know, to us, they seem to be, you know, the boogeymen, the boogie people, you know, the invisible ones, you know, if you will, you know, and, you know, from looking at your work, and you were clearly explaining who they are, you know, as I said earlier, you know, they've often been described as reptilians or, you know, just, you know, cold-hearted people, soulless ones, if you will, at the top that's manipulating all of this. You know, what would you say is the most accurate description of the Illuminati? And are there faces that we see every day that could possibly be a part of this clandestine group, if you will?
That's a tough one. Now, first of all, the Illuminati is somewhat of a misnomer. It works, but at the same time, we need to recognize that a lot of people consider the Illuminati the Bavarian Illuminati that were crafted in May 1st, 1776, started by Adam Weishaupt. And then some say that this Illuminati order infiltrated Freemasonry in America and led them astray. But now we use Illuminati as a catch-all phrase for this Brotherhood network. So when we are looking at the Brotherhood Network, yeah, I would say you see a few of them every day. Pope Ratzinger, you know, he's a Nazi youth from Bavaria, which is the very spot the Illuminati was founded. He was found to be researching the Illuminati and the Knights Templar before he suddenly came out and said, oh, we're going to exonerate the Templars. We found documentation to say that they were, you know, not doing such horrible things, and so they exonerated the Templars. They're going to write a book about this really soon. Of course, the Jesuit priest Benjamin Funes came out and said that aliens are our space brothers and don't suffer original sin because they weren't born of Eve, and that the Big Bang was the most likely description of the creation of the universe. So when we do see the elite, okay, and they are all around us. Now, the secret guiding forces, no, I don't think we'll ever know who they are. People inside of the Mothers of Darkness, things that are deep at the very top, these very occult rituals, I don't think we would ever get to see those. But we start, and honestly, the ones that we do see are being used, you know. I feel like had rituals performed on him before he was even out of his mom's womb. And if you start to look into the bloodlines, then you find that W just might be the grandson of Aleister Crowley. because of Pauline Pierce's sexual escapades with Aleister Crowley and coming back to
Oh, yes, please
Barbara.
Go into that. That was something I was going to ask you to go in on. You know, George W. Bush's connection/relation to Aleister Crowley. Oh,
yes,
yes, please tell
okay,
us about
well,
that.
You know, get it straight. First of all, Hillary is related to Celine Dion, Angelina Jolie. John McCain's related to Britney Spears. They're all related to George W. Bush. They say Brad Pitt's related to Obama. And you can go on and on with these interrelations. You know, Marilyn Monroe, George W. Bush, distant cousins, you know, Obama's joking about his distant cousin Cheney. You know, so we see this, you know, you take it to the musical pop icons or to the politics, it's all the same family. We never got rid of the aristocracy. That's the whole thing with the American presidents. Your first 13 are all Masons, and they were all blood, all direct Windsors or going back to royalty. So when we start to look into bloodlines, yeah, that one was very strange. And what happened was Pauline Pierce was a known socialite. She was with the owner of McCall's magazine. I can't think of his name right now. Was her husband, and he introduced her to Aleister Crowley. And her and a little girl named Nikki went off to France with Aleister Crowley to perform ritual. Now, when you understand the Ordo Templi Orientis, the cult of Aleister Crowley's, then you realize that it's a sexual ritual. That's, you know, where most of his rituals go to, is sex. So she went off and had a sexual ritual with Aleister Crowley. Now she returns, no one's too sure, but the timing seems to say that, you know, the pregnancy occurred while she was in France and not while with her husband. So if this were the case, then she gave birth to little Barbara, who then was married to the head of the CIA, Skull and Bonesman Magog, also known as H.W., the Emperor of the Dark Side, you know, and so she becomes Barbara Bush, and so Aleister Crowley's daughter, Barbara Bush, becomes the mother of the next president, W., which is, of course, the Dark Side, and yeah, he might be the grandson of the Beast. Just as Walt Disney's bloodline was hidden through the Disney line. They believe it was the maid Isabella that gave birth to Walt Disney. Nobody knows who his mom really is. Adolf Hitler, we're starting to find out that he's probably a Rothschild. Now, on that note, if I could throw in one more.
Oh, yes.
Danny Lynn. Let's not forget poor Larry Burkhead and Danny Lynn. Okay, this whole ritual. Now, I predicted that we would go to war with Iran because that clown makeup on Anna Nicole was the flag of Iran. You know, and so when you're watching things like this and you realize, okay, there was no reason to put that video in the court case. They were trying to determine where to put Anna Nicole's body, and they bring out a video clip of her supposedly on mushrooms painted as a clown. But that clown makeup was the flag of Iran. And the tape was inadmissible evidence to the courtroom. It wasn't even supposed to be shown. But this is how they get us into their high-profile rituals. Well, Anna Nicole, then, she gives birth to little Danny Lynn. And she already has her other son, Billy Smith. And they run off to the Bahamas with this fellow, Ford Shelley. What we see here is a ritual sacrifice in Anna Nicole. Now, what happens is she gives birth to little Danny Lynn. Who claims to be the father? Well, everybody, right? Because we're talking about sexual rituals. So we have Larry Burkhead, we have Howard K. Stern, and then this strange fellow, Prince Frederick von Anhalt. Now, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, when you start to look into his roots, you find that it's quite possible that he actually was a test tube baby made from Adolf Hitler's semen with crossing with Gretel Braun, Eva Braun's sister. That was the closest they could come to the offspring of Adolf Hitler, and he became Prince Frederick von Anhalt. Now, he happens to carry and keep Zsa Zsa Gabor, who was one of the first trauma-based mind control slaves, locked up in his mansion with a padlock. I mean, that's straight on TMZ or whatever social site you want to see. Prince Frederick von Anhalt keeps Zsa Zsa locked up in the house with a padlock. But in the meantime, he's off having sexual rituals with Anna Nicole, and he admits to it. And you can see it in my film, Anna Nicole, Brittany, and Mind Control, where he says, well, that happened on one of those nights where no one remembers, but I'm the father of that baby. So that makes Danny Lynn a direct descendant of Adolf Hitler through the Rothschild bloodline. Now, what happened to Anna Nicole? She gets married off to J. Howard Marshall, a 92-year-old ex-oil Nazi oil tycoon, and is left with $1 billion. Maybe it was just $1 billion. But she doesn't get that money. That money was never for her. The whole scenario led so that no one got the money. But as far as I'm concerned, that money was there to take care of Danny Lynn. Now, when we're looking at these guys, and you look at Jet Propulsion Laboratories and Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, they were trying to bring up this thing they call the Moon Child. Just real quick, when you see Danny Lynn's bloodline, you find that she's actually a direct descendant of Hitler that's been raised in this Moon Child ritual. So the first thing they did on her third day of existence, Billy Smith drops dead in the hospital room in front of Danny Lynn. Okay, so that's the sacrifice of the firstborn. Then 3 months later, and you'll always find these trinities, you know, 3 days, 3 months, Anna Nicole drops dead in front of Danny Lynn, and this is the sacrifice of the goddess. So we actually got to watch live on TV this ritual of the Moon Child, and so now here's this little baby girl who has been given $1 billion from a Nazi oil tycoon and is actually a direct descendant of Adolf Hitler.
Powerful information.
And what I wanted to ask was, because this guy really knows his stuff, everything he's saying, I already know it to be true. And what I wanted to ask him is what he knows about Michael Jackson being an MK Ultra child and all the things that went on with him. Do you know anything about that?
Somewhat. No, definitely.
Okay.
You're going to find all of these guys being, we look at Prince, Madonna, Britney, Anna Nicole.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They've all been ritually abused as children.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You can take that back to, you know, JonBenet Ramsey, and that's how
exactly.
I predicted Cyril White getting involved. You know, Cyril White was involved in Anna Nicole, John Travolta, JFK, Elvis, this guy, you know, and he's the one who called to get Dr. Murray
exactly.
Arrested.
Michael was murdered because
well,
he came to his senses. I believe he came to his senses.
Well, yes,
he was involved in all of it in the beginning, but he came to his senses because Beat It is about homosexual male masturbation.
That's right.
That's what Michael wrote the song about. But
right.
He came to his senses in the end, and he wanted to help humanity.
And he was coming out with that song, They Don't Care About Us.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he was going to, you know, speak out on all of this. Well, I actually was checking into this recording about Famous Homes right before Michael died, or actually right after he died, and there was a roboticist on there who is creating robots for people to transmit their souls into, and he had admitted that he was the doctor or the roboticist that created a robot for Michael Jackson to transmit his soul into.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find this evidence in MIT's mind-preserving technology. It was on the front page of Pravda that you can transmit your soul via radio.
Well, what do you think about the Jackson family? I heard that they helped to assassinate Michael, that they were in it to help assassinate him.
I wouldn't know about
that. I know
that.
Joe was with his evil ass, but I heard that the family
evil.
Was also.
Well, we can definitely see how they're being used in these high-profile rituals. I definitely can't say whether the family was involved, but look at Janet Jackson with Justin Timberlake, the mouth-to-ear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's now married to Rihanna, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the guy that Janet Jackson's involved with is a known child molester in the music industry. What's his name from the little short dude that she's with?
But when she had her bare breast at the MTV, or
it was done on purpose.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was absolutely
in the
gold sundial on her nipple. That's the hermaphroditic symbols. Yeah, absolutely. And you'll always find the Mouseketeers right in there. And of course, the Jacksons are all connected with the Walt.
I just want to say that Michael might have.
Yes, I think we lost the caller. Unfortunately, we're getting to the part of the show that I hate. It always gets good at the end. But you'll be back. But take a little time, Freeman, to. Let us know what you got going on and what you got coming up.
All right. Well, you can absolutely reach me at freemantv.com. Just drop a line in there. It's probably better to email me at blueflyfree@gmail.com. You'll find it on the blog. You can find me easy. My MySpace, anything's Freeman TV. So it's YouTube Freeman TV, MySpace Freeman TV. And I've got that picture of Michael Jackson cut in part with the bust on my MySpace. Anyway, so what I've got going on right now, I'm hoping to release my book, The Sorcerers of Atlantis, on Halloween, and is all of my artwork showing you the signs and gestures, all of these things that we have discussed today with images, because you just got to have the images. So I'm going to have an artwork with all of the detailed explanations. It's called The Sorcerers of Atlantis, and that should be out Halloween, I'm hoping. I have right now a deal going on for all 5 of my DVDs, and that's the Freeman Perspective, which covers corporate logos, the Goddess Columbia, HARP, the weather modification, chemtrails, and synchronicity. Also with Codex Magica, Tex Mars and I going over Illuminati hand signs and gestures in Hollywood and politics for 2 hours. Then there's Return of the Nephilim, which is 5 hours long, with people like Michael Tsarian or Giorgio Tsoukalos discussing the ancient astronaut hypothesis. And Anna Nicole, Brittany, and mind control, which gets into program chaos. And then finally now the Obama cloning and the coming space war. And you can get all of these for $99.95 on my website. I got a special going for that. So that's pretty much what I've got. FreemanTV.com should lead you to anything and everything you need to find me.